I think more than ever before in our history, we are in need of heroes. Authentic heroes. Real heroes. Men and women who will be men and women of faith. Who will allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine so brightly within them that it will penetrate the darkness that is trying to engulf our hearts and our homes, our communities, and even our world. And I believe some of those heroes, those champions, are right here this morning at our BMA seminary. And the question that I want you to consider today is, will I rise to the occasion? Will I seize this moment in history to live my life for Jesus Christ and to make an impact, a change in the world in which God has planted me? I want to talk about becoming a champion of God today. I want to talk about an Old Testament champion that you might not be familiar with. His name is Benaiah. Now, when you go to most of our churches this coming Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and you look in the nurseries, you probably won't find many Benaiahs. You'll probably find a lot of Daniels and Davids and Joshuas. But if you're thinking about having children, or your children are going to have children, then you might want to think about naming them Benaiah. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. I want to look at verses 20, 21, 22, and 23 on how that we can become champions of God. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20 says this: Benaiah was the son of Joiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He'd also gone down and killed the lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and so he went down to him with a staff, and he wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and he killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Joiada, did, and won a name among the three mighty men of David. He was more honored than the 30, but he didn't quite attain the first three, and David appointed him over his guard. These short verses record three amazing exploits of Benaiah. And the one that really caught my eye was his encounter with a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, lots of men have been chased by lions, but very few intentionally go out to chase a lion. It reminds me of a story of a man who was out in the African jungles and began to be chased by a lion, and he realized that he was about to be overtaken, and so he fell to his knees and put his hands together and he said, "Lord, please let this be a Christian lion." And all at once a lion just stopped in his tracks and fell to his knees and put his paws together and said, "Lord, thank you for this food that I'm about to eat." I understand that. Our text says that Benaiah went into the pit after this lion. The lion wasn't stalking Benaiah. He was stalking the lion. He was a lion chaser. Think about that for a moment. Here's a man who is a lion chaser. And that thought kind of consumes me. And I begin to think, am I a lion chaser? Spiritually, in my faith, when people think of me out of all of the adjectives they could use, or when God thinks of me, would He consider me to be a lion chaser? And are you a lion chaser? Is our ministries, our churches, lion chasers? What is a lion chaser? A lion chaser is someone who is willing to go out and grab risky opportunities by the mane and to subdue them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lion chasers. I will share with you three lessons that we learn from a lion chaser this morning. And as we learn these lessons, we may well be on our way to becoming champions for God. Are you ready? Here's the first lion chasing lesson number one. Your greatest opportunities are often disguised as God-sized challenges. The greatest opportunities that you and I will ever face in life often come to us not as an opportunity, but it comes to us disguised. So we don't easily recognize it for what it is. And what it is an opportunity to be used of God. It's a God-sized challenge. There are two challenges in life that I've discovered down through the years. One of those challenges is what I call human-sized challenges. And these are challenges that we can face in our own strength, with our own intellect, out of our own pocketbook, our own resources. There are things we can take care of. But there are other challenges that face us in life, and those are God-sized challenges. You see the difference? In God-sized challenges, the only way you can face them is in the supernatural power of God in order to overcome that challenge. Certainly, facing a lion in a pit on a snowy day had to qualify as one of those God-sized challenges. And as I thought about that passage, I began to wonder, why? Why did Benaiah do that? I mean, why kill the lion? Certainly there wasn't hunting for sport back then. And why on a snowy day? Oh, on a snowy day, the ground is slippery. A four-legged creature with a low center of gravity would certainly have the advantage in that case. And why in the world would Benaiah jump into the pit with that lion? I mean, a pit is close quarters. There's no place to hide. There's no means of escape. Surely the lion would have the upper hand in the pit. And when we look at this passage, we think, wow, Benaiah faced insurmountable odds. I mean, men don't win one-on-one combat with a lion. Lions can run and burst at speeds up to 40 miles an hour. They can jump 30 feet in a single bound with one slap of their paw. They can crush the human skull and they can bite through any bone in your body. You talk about facing some odds. Benaiah faced some tremendous odds the moment he jumped into that pit with a lion on a snowy day. And I wonder, what lions are you facing in your life today? What is it that seems to be an insurmountable odd in your life? Maybe this morning you're standing on the edge of the pit and you're peering in and everything within you says, run, turn away, run as fast as you go. What kind of lions are you facing? It may be that you or a loved one was diagnosed with that dreaded C word, cancer. Maybe you run out of money before you run out of months. Or it could be that your family or your ministry or even you look perfect on the outside, but you know the real thing is what's happening on the inside and your world is falling apart. Are you facing a lion today? If you are, like Benaiah, don't be afraid. There's a God in heaven who gives strength to those who are willing to jump into a pit on a snowy day to face the lions of life. And the odd thing about odds is that when you factor in the power of God into the equation, one plus God outweighs even the heaviest odds against you. And instead of fearing the lions of life, let's start looking at them as God looks at them. They're the greatest opportunities that we will ever have in our lifetime to trust in the God of heaven to work in and through our lives. Sometimes when the trials of life come, sometimes when the heartaches of life come, sometimes when the sufferings of life come, we have this mentality where we get into, oh, poor me, and we get having a pity party, and say, why do I have to go through this? Nobody else has walked where I've walked before, and I've been good, God. I've surrendered to you in ministry. I've forsaken everything. Why does this happen to me? That's the wrong mindset. In order to be lion chasers, to say, okay, God, here's an impossible situation. I know, though, it's only disguise because it's really a God-sized challenge for you to work in and through my life so that you might get maximum honor and glory. And so the next time that you're faced with a lion, take the hand of God and say, look out, lion, here we come. opportunities for God-sized challenges. Here's the second lesson, lion chaser lesson that we learn from this passage. Your greatest fear to conquer is fear. The greatest fear that we have to conquer in our lives is fear. Think about it. When Benaiah jumped into that pit, he had to face and conquer his fear. I don't think he was calm. I certainly wouldn't be if I was jumping into a pit on a snowy day with a lion. I don't think he was nonchalant about it. Okay, well, here I go. I'm going to do this. No. I can imagine his heart was pounding like a jackhammer. I can imagine that fear was coursing through his veins. But what he did, here's what he did. What he did was, is he jumped in spite of his fears. His trust in Almighty God was greater than his fears. You see that? Well, let me give you the truth here. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. They cannot occupy the same place at the same time in your life. One will either reign and the other will be submissive, but they both won't reign together. And so that means that when fear is determining your attitudes, your reactions, that means faith has taken a back seat. And on this day, Benaiah chose to let his faith reign.
Right.
You know, psychologists have done a study, and they've come to realize that infants are born with only two known fears. Did you realize that? Infants have the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. That means every other fear that we have today is a learned fear. We've learned to fear it. I'm claustrophobic. You lock me in a closet and I'll beat you to death to get out of it. But here's the good news. Because those fears are learned, that means we can unlearn them. You see that? Now let me warn you, it is never easy to unlearn fears. Mark Batterson says this about unlearning fears. Half of learning is unlearning. Unfortunately, unlearning is twice as hard as learning. It's like missing your exit on the freeway. You have to drive to the next exit and then double back, and every mile you go in the wrong direction is really a 2-mile error. It often takes twice as long to get old thoughts out of your mind than it took to get the new thought in your mind. There is fear that you have to fear. It's fear. And as you face the lions of life, remember this, that Jesus Christ is the champion fear stopper. When He is Lord of your life, when He is master of your life, when He is controlling your life, He can command any fear to stop.
That's right.
And the best thing about it is when you face down a fear, that means you're ready for the next one. Eleanor Roosevelt wrote these words, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I live through this, I can take the next thing that comes along." Why is it that the fear of failure often tends to be the hardest fear that we face? But remember this, if you live a normal Christian life, you're going to fail a lot of times. You just are. But failure is not final. And if you're afraid to fail, that means you will never attempt great things for God. You'll never make yourself available to be used of Him to bring Him honor and glory. What is lesson lion chaser number two? Is to go ahead and face that fear and to put your trust in God. All right, here's lesson number three. Lesson number three is your greatest satisfaction in life will come from accumulating experiences, not possessions. Your greatest satisfaction in life, what will bring you more joy, more contentment, more fulfillment than anything else, will be experiences, not possession. Now, I know that runs contrary to what the world thinks today. They think the one that has the most toys, when he dies, wins. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Okay? The Bible never talks about the possessions of Benaiah. It doesn't talk about his lifestyle. Doesn't talk about his land. Doesn't talk about his money. But you know what it talks about? It talks about his experiences. It talks about the number of times that he was willing to step out on faith and how God worked in and through his life to accomplish some pretty incredible things. With every challenged faith, Benaiah was building his spiritual resume. With every challenged faith, God was preparing him for bigger and better challenges ahead. I wonder this morning, are you allowing God to build your spiritual resume? Lion chasers don't stay home on snowy days and watch television. They go looking for the God-sized challenges of life. Are you looking for those challenges? Are you making yourself available for God to defeat the lion in your life? Mark Twain wrote these words, 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowline, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Yeah, the Bible says the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let me challenge you to never settle for the status quo. Never become good enough. Never become complacent. Allow God to fill you with His dreams, and then you seek His God-given dreams with all of your heart. It's been said that the only way for evil to advance in our world is for good men to do absolutely nothing. I think it's time, I think it's the very reason why it's time that we have heroes. Champions of God who are willing to rise up in these days, the last days, and to claim the promises of God and to face the lions of life. God has but one plan, and that plan includes you. Become a champion for Christ. Whatever you do, be a lion chaser. My son and I love watching the History Channel on television. And recently we watched the World War II series called The Band of Brothers. Any of y'all ever see that TV show? Yeah, it's a pretty neat show. This episode was about the paratroopers of Easy Company who jumped behind German lines on D-Day. On that day, they said they had a casualty rate of over 50%. It's one out of two didn't come back home. In the interview, they asked these surviving soldiers, weren't you afraid to be surrounded by Germans? And every one of them said, oh yeah, we were afraid. But one of them said, but we're paratroopers. We're supposed to be surrounded by the enemies. These men of Easy Company were part of 53,000 unsung, unknown champions who ran straight toward their fears on D-Day. And they pushed back in the evil empire. And our world's a different day because of their heroism. One of the surviving soldiers was asked by his grandson, he said, Grandpa, were you a hero? He said, no, I wasn't. But I served in a company of heroes. May when our life is said and done, may that be said of me. May it be said of you, your ministry, your church. There are lions out there today, probably more so than there's ever been before in the history of America. And those lions believe that they're gaining in number and they're gaining in strength. And what they need are lion chasers. They need men and women like you who will stand up and allow God to work through your life to chase that lion. As you face your lion in a pit on a snowy day, God will give you the courage and the strength of Benaiah to chase and to conquer those lions. God bless you. Let's pray. I pray, Father, that you stir within the hearts of every one of us here a sense of the time in which we live, a sense of urgency. That this world, as we have known for so long, is quickly coming to a close. Satan has his all-out final assault to do everything that he can. And it is now the time that we rise to the occasion. That even though others may not know our name, even though we might think that we're insignificant, that we can be an important part of your kingdom work here on earth, that God is looking for people like us who will stand, who will live by faith, and who will let the light of Jesus Christ shine through their lives. I pray, Father, that there are world changers here today. There are life transformers who are here today, who will not give in to their fears, who will not turn and run from their lions, but will chase them and subdue them wherever and however and how long it takes. Father, give us the grace, the courage to do that, to live our lives for You. And may You be pleased. May You be honored and glorified in all these things. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.